sometime 10 years ago, okay, 11 years ago, because we were caught up in the prayer body for 1 year as nocturnals, eating away. And God began to reveal the structure of the territory that He has sent us. And we sought to understand these dimensions. It took us 1 year before the Lord. This is exactly 11 years, 1 year in the cave, and 10 years as foot soldiers running the errands of the kingdom of God. I'd like you to join us as we salute the great God of heaven, the immortal, the invincible, the all-wise God, the governor among the nations, Him that sitteth at the circles of the earth, is God all by Himself. We worship. We give Him praise. Glory to God. Many things happened during the course of these 10 years. You know, many of us do not realize the implication of responding to a call that is facilitated from heaven. Everything under the control of the devil in the natural will be put in place and set in array against your life and against your delicate balance. We saw all kinds of winds. At some point, the test will be on the strength of the family system. Demons will test its foundation to see how secure it is in covenant. At some point, it will be health. Suddenly, your health comes under perspective, and the devil is so concerned that you are breathing. Sometimes, the attack is on the children. Then your son will come to you, and for 6 months he can't get well. And anything that has the capacity to search into your reins and create a disbalance, a basis for you not to trust God, is exploited. It takes a radical to respond to a kingdom call. And that's why the Bible says that from the time of John the Baptist and until this present hour, that era that was announced by his arrival and the attendant changes that took place, which was very evident in his rise, how that violence was allowed in the issues of apprehending the dimensions of the kingdom. When last did you rebel against the devil? Hallelujah. We had to rebel again and again until we were forged and made warriors out of the challenges we had to face. We were gentle people, just seeking to serve the will of God. I sought me a damsel among the elite. She's not used to the hard ways. But when we came on that fire, we all became rocket. Atominaka learned how to pray in tongues in capital letters. You know, God will never tell you. When He calls you, He won't tell you. You will grow on the job. You will test, you have a very good, a buoyant experience in the island of poverty, lack and want. Your spiritual life will be top ranking, but the pocket will not respond to the utterances. Prophesy to many people, but your pocket resists the unction.
Oh, glory to God. And it's very easy when God brings you help for you to claim that it's because you knew what to do that you now arrived where you arrived. It's not because we knew anything. God was merciful. God had a commitment to his name. And on the strength of that, he was moved in bountiful mercies and loving kindness. And the backbone of poverty was broken. Now, we celebrate a God that is faithful, a personality dependable. From age to age, our ancestors in the spirit have found an anchor in Jehovah. And after 10 years, I came with a testimony that the God that we serve is not a man that he should lie. One more time, I would like you to celebrate him. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. The Governor among the nations. He sits in the circles of the earth. He is immortal. He is invincible. His ways are past finding out. Oh God, oh great monarch of Zion, we sing your praise. We exalt your majesty. Oh God, let your name be glorified. In the name of Jesus. There were several things that happened in the apostolic revival captured in the book of Acts. Everything was going well until Acts chapter 6. In fact, the problem that emerged came because of explosion and expansion. You know, sometimes you begin to pray and say, Lord, send the people. Oh my. Send the numbers. It is written that in the multitude of people is the king's honor. And we do not understand that it is when the people come that the trouble comes. And when people began to come and people began to patronize and began to align and subscribe, the attendant mischief that is tied to that season begins to find expression. Oh! Then you notice the serpent called rebellion. Hallelujah. You will never be taught that in Bible school. In Bible school, you are taught introduction to prophecy. And you are not taught how to discern when somebody is operating in the grace of soothsaying. Hallelujah. We are taught what to do in Bible school. You are not taught what to do. And God's technique of teaching is a double-edged sword. Hallelujah. And the symptoms began to rise. And then you realize how helpless you are if you are not in God's help payroll. There's one payroll called payroll of help. Then you find out that because you read business administration doesn't make you effective in administering church matters. You need to keep your books away. You need to keep your learning, your expertise away. Go before God in prayer, and he's such a majesty. You can be coming before him for 6 months, and he pretends as if he didn't see you. He can show you other matters. Show you the crusade field. The need for deliverance in that territory. But the matter you brought to him is pending. You know, he is majesty. The fact that you cry cannot compel an utterance from him. In the process of seeking him, you will begin to understand him. That if not because of mercy, he will not even respond to you. We were there for so long. And it took 3 years in the midst of chaos for the Great One to speak about a matter that is connected to the errand that he sent you. It took 3 years before he responded. Now, the point is not in his response. Now, can you somebody help me beg the media people? It won't work like this. It seems all the spirits we cast out have gone to hibernate in that corner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Suddenly your state of handicap becomes face to face. That's when we learn how to seek the face of God. To stand before. I didn't plan to arrive here. There is no form of training that you can receive that can make you fully equipped to represent the interest of God. As you are navigating through the pathways, you begin to become rugged and to understand the protocol, the shape of the kingdom that God has called you to interface with. Everything about that kingdom will so affect you that you look like the kingdom eventually. Of all my trials in the ministry, I think the greatest trial is having to wait on God. When the matter seems to be an emergency, but he is quiet. Indeed, God is not a man. It's not a man. Quiet! Something wants to spoil. But he won't respond. Then I realized that anything that God is not perturbed about, I started learning how to behave like him. If God is not bothered, then I should not be bothered. It's time to pay house rent. He's not bothered. So, then anxiety began to die. Confusion, worry, and all of that. And the powers of the elements, they were subdued. So that we could stand still and hear. Tell the media man, the volume is too much. It will cry again. Who is there? Now, can we pray? We need to summon the intercessors. Hallelujah. And we labored and called upon God. But I learned something from his delay. I learned something. That God is not moved by your emotions, by the circumstances. And I started learning how to be like him. Some people call it insensitivity, but that's the way of my God. He comes at the pace of grace. And I saw the things that were of concern to me wither in their due time. The immortal God, invincible God. By an act of his wisdom, he decided to hide himself in the spirit realm so that he can be sought by all mankind. We give you praise. We give you glory. We have sent the word for a convergence of this nature because God has served the summon. It's a strategic time in the annals of his kingdom. And he has summoned his people to converge. Because he has one or two things to draw upon their heart. I salute you and I welcome you in the name of Jesus. Please make welcome the person sitting by your side and say welcome to IEC 2017. It's been one decade responding to the promptings of God. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All the people from Lagos, you are welcome. From Kaduna, from all across, it's been a ride in the grace of God. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the name of Jesus. And so we have received visitors from far and wide. We had to labor in the spirit to ensure that your movement is secured by the grace of God. But now we rejoice that you are here with us. We want to acknowledge every minister of the gospel that is present. After holding a few conferences of this nature, we came to realize when we studied the pattern of things that happened to us after the conference, and we discovered that these meetings were times of appointment ordained by God. Because every time the meeting ended, the pool of grace opened, another phase of grace, another phase of ministry began. And there was an evident expression of a new measure of the grace of God. So we realized that these were moments of appointment that God has put in place to reach out to us. And we come to God's presence armed with that understanding. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Amen. Sorry, my own Bible is struggling to open. It's a challenge. And I will soon be there. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Amen.
I'll do the reading from verse 11. First Chronicles 15 from verse 11. Now, you stay with me. We're only right with the Holy Ghost, so just stay. Now, so what is responsible for that noise? Is it one of your cords? And David called for Zadok. These were the leading priests, leading priestly functionaries in the kingdom at that time. He called for Zadok and Abiathar, the priests. And for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Aminadab. Next verse. And he said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourself, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. Now they were ready to bring up the ark. The ancient priests that have practiced priesthood for many, many generations, where some of them had to be called back from retirement. Their wisdom was required at this point. And you will find out why the chief among the priests had to be invoked. Masters of priesthood. Masters of the brazen altar. Masters of the altars of sacrifice. They had to be invoked at this time. And this was a national situation. It was by the decree and the directive of the king that all these functionaries had to be summoned. Are you still with me? Stay with me. We're on a ride with the Holy Ghost. Now, this is the reason why all of them had to be summoned. For because ye did it not at the first, because we did not summon these functionaries the first time we were trying to transport the ark, the Lord our God made a breach upon us. God decided to stop our procession, even though our intention was righteous. Our heart was joyous that the ark was with us. Hallelujah. But God decided to stop our procession. And by that he meant the death of who? Uzzah. God stopped the procession. The procession was very filthy before his face. He could not bear it any longer, and he stopped it, unfortunately. In making that breach, a man had to die. Now, this was David's perspective about the situation that took place the first time. He said, for that we sought him not after the due order. The reason for the abrupt stop of our procession was that we thought that God could be modernized. We could change some of his statutes and his protocols and expect him to still accept our service to him. God, in showing his displeasure with that procession that day, decided to make a breach. And unfortunately, Uzzah died in the process. And when investigation was conducted, why God will do such a thing when their hearts were sincere. They were sincere. But we discover that in the protocols of dealing with a spirit, sincerity cannot be an excuse for you not to be in compliance with divine order. Alright? So they had to stop the procession, abandon the ark with Obed-Edom. An ark that just killed somebody. If it's your house, they want to drop. The ark slayed a man just now. And if they want to drop the ark in your house, you will need to think twice before you accept that kind of a proposal. But you know what? Obed-Edom was in order already. He was living a life of consistent consecration. He didn't need to do any extra consecration when the ark, unknown to him, had to be dropped in his house. So he played host to the ark.
and in the nature of the ark as it was known to operate before, that ark began to bless Obed-Edom. Meanwhile, that was the same ark that killed the man. So a research proposal was generated out of the exploits of the ark in the modern times. There was a need to provide the reason why the ark killed, and to also provide the reason why it is blessing and prospering. And after a long time of research, David and the wise men and the ancient priests now discovered that the reason why the ark operated that way was because God was not sought after the due order. Let's continue with our reading. I just wanted to pick the point. Because we live in a generation where in the body of Christ in our time, a lot of people feel that anything can go with God. The other day there was a crusade in Kubwa. On the last night of the crusade, the evangelist said, in order for people to participate in the crusade, hallelujah, there was some requirement that you had to bring to the crusade ground to participate effectively. So on the last night of the crusade, you had to come with 1,000 naira and a knife in order for you to participate effectively in the miracle rally. It was a judgment night. And the tools required for participation was what? 1,000 naira and a knife. Now, hallelujah. The reason why Uzzah died and God made a breach of that procession was because they did not seek him after the due order. Let me continue my reading. Please help me with the reading. So the priest and the Levite sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. Last verse 15. And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders. Now, you know, the time that the ark was transported using a modern Philistine technology. The name of that technology is called New Cart. Because the ancient prescription of the transportation of the ark was that it was designed to be borne on the shoulders of four priests. It is because the ark was born on four priests. That's why we have four gospels. Hallelujah. God is a God of pattern. And every prescription that he makes available is consistent with a bigger intention that he intends to reveal. Now, if the manifestation of God's intent for bearing the ark on four men was that he wanted to crystallize four gospels, are you with me? What would have been the mystical expression of new cart in that particular frame of reference? So God had to kill in order to preserve the pattern. Now, we called this conference because we felt there was a burden on the heart of God. That there were a lot of new carts in the body of Christ. And God wanted us to bring perspective by the operation of the Spirit of His grace so that we can avert a casualty situation that is about to precipitate. Now, people are becoming familiar with God. People are beginning to tamper with God and to tempt Him. The fact that somebody did a particular wrong thing that is not consistent with Scripture, and there was no instant judgment from God, is an indication of the fact that God decided to show mercy so that the person can repent quickly. However, the flesh can make the person think that he outsmarted God. He survived God. And such a thinking is what keeps somebody perpetually in a particular state until he is fully snared. So we came to provide a perspective in order for men to escape new cards
which are not consistent with the prescription of God. Now, these guys needed to conduct a research. And in their research, they found a reference. You see, the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulder with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. So they had a reference for this practice this time. And because they were within the scope of the prescribed divine order concerning that matter, they received a blessing for their accurate response with God. And so if... Are you with me? So, we came to reveal the divine order. That's what we are here for. The divine order. If you study your Bible, especially the book of Romans, that's one of my best books in the Bible. Book of Romans is not a message. It's a map. It's a map that shows us the path of spiritual progress. How a man stumbles upon the path of enlightenment under the auspices of the Spirit of God and is brought through that path and his numerous dealings and his attendant dealings to a point where his most natural state of existence is that which the Holy Spirit makes him at every point in time consistent with situations and circumstances. That man goes beyond the fleshly oppression. He goes beyond the oppression of human life, and he fully apprehends the perspective of divine life within him. So he moves at the impulse of divine life, and he moves at the pace of grace. Such a creature cannot be damned by anything that is of this world. And the book of Romans sets the protocol for that kind of progression in God. Are you with me? Now, see, God is a God of pattern and a God of order. And when God was commanding Noah to construct an ark, he actually gave Noah the dimensions of the ark. And I'm wondering why God was so specific about the construction of that ark. It's because God is a God of patterns. God doesn't like to pioneer so much. He likes to establish a pattern so that everybody can draw a reference from that pattern that is established. Imagine. It is a covenant that God had with Abraham that was the platform, the spiritual platform upon which Jesus came. In the day of Moses, the application of the covenant of Abraham only affected the Jews. So what Jesus came to do was to increase the scope of possibility of that covenant. It is in the sacrifice of Jesus that the Gentiles were grafted into the family tree. Meanwhile, it's the same covenant, but Jesus just came to give it larger scope and perspective. Now, couldn't God have started something new with Jesus? But God decided to establish a pattern, and he draws every reference from patterns established before the present time. Are you with me? In order for you to be accurate with God, you will need to go back into hallowed antiquity and understand the patterns that God has set in motion and align with them. You are not called to be creative, you are called to align, to submit to powers, to wisdoms that have been set in motion so that you become a partaker of the bounties of God captured in several agreements and several covenants that are running across generations. God is not starting anything with you. You are just a victim of his mercy. And the extent of mercy that you can enjoy is determined by your degree of alignment with procedures and protocols captured in covenants that God has formed patterns in through the lives of patriarchs, pivotal people. So the things that he did, the power of those things were revealed in the lives of mortal men. Are you with me? You know, by creation, we are weak. We are insufficient by creation. And what makes a man as strong as Abraham was, because Abraham eventually inherited three titles
with God. He inherited the title of the friend of God. He inherited the title of the father of faith. He inherited the title of the father of many nations. In fact, by reason of the dealings that he had with God, all blessings were willed to him. God has no other plan to bless anybody outside of the contract he achieved with Abraham. The extent to which you are a partaker of the blessings of God is the degree to which you come into conformity with that contract that God has already established with Abraham. Are you with me? Now, so, in order generations come, like this our own, a fatherless generation, and then you now find people that are burning strange fire. The fire they are burning has no reference to the covenant of the ancestors. That is a departure from the order. It is powered by a spirit that is not God. And in order for God to be honored and for the deception not to prosper, God makes a bridge. You know, many people feel that because God is invincible, he is locked up in the spirit realm, he doesn't have protocols. Hallelujah. We're about to discover something this week. If you are a student of the book of Galatians, chapter 3, you will find out. You will find out that Jesus came and the operating system under which he came was the covenant of Abraham. So everything that pertains to the good news, right? What we call the good news today is an exposition of the intricacies that are embedded in covenants that were secured, contracts that were done between God and men, our spiritual ancestors. And so the good news is an insight into the scope, the dynamics, the dimensions of these transactions and their attendant implications, because we cannot operate outside of them. Outside of them, there is no cover, there is no contract. So the next time somebody tells you new anointing, be careful, because everything operates between the scope of a genealogy. If you take it outside of that genealogy, it is strange. It is a new cat. A new cat. A new what? I heard there's a man in Kubwa. The man said he found a name by revelation that is superior to the name of Jesus. Ayakumina Santoma. That's a new cat. It's a new cat. A new wheelbarrow. A new glory. It's a new. It's a new cat. It's a new cat. The Lord give you understanding. It's a new cat. Actually, part of the apostolic ministry, as you will come to see very shortly, part of the responsibility of the apostolic is to set things in order in the body of Christ. Because the devil happens to be the greatest counterfeit of all times. He has been in the presence of God for a very long time. And he has the capacity to imitate and to mimic almost everything that God does. Hallelujah. So times of great revivals are times of great deceptions. Yes. Deceptions ride side by side revivals. Yes, sir. And some of the greatest gifts that will need to operate in the day of revivals is this discernment of spirit and discernment in every other form as it is capable given the provisions of grace. Discernment by the word of God, discernment by the spirit of God. We will need all modes and forms of discernment in order to stay afloat in the navigatory pathway that has been revealed by the Holy Ghost. Because the devil seeks to advance new cards that look so acceptable, but they are actually departures from the frame of reference. I hope you know that the Cherubim and Seraphim movement started well. It was an intercessory movement. It was a global intercessory movement. And it started well, and the gifts of the Spirit were operating, and all kinds of things, but because there was no sufficient discernment, new hearts began to come that were accepted. And then it evolved and became something strange. And there's a particular prayer ministry right now. It's a prayer ministry, it's an intercessory ministry. And it is already going the way of the new cut already in Nigeria. There's a prayer ministry like that. You find the prayer points are not biblical. You cannot trace it to the book. Meanwhile, these guys were trying to repair a situation of departure. And they had a reference for their comeback. They say it was done according to the word of the Lord which Moses gave. And when you begin to operate in such a way that we don't have scriptural backing, it's a new card. And it doesn't matter the name of the bishop that is in the center of that activity. New card. And so the presence of the God is dying out in the body of Christ. Because we have so many new cards right now, and God cannot be seen on the stage. And that prayer ministry is very strong, very advanced. Everywhere is everywhere, but when you check the prayer activity, you cannot trace that activity to something in Acts of the Apostles that is an example of territorial prayer or any kind of prayer whatsoever. It's a new card. You don't need a prophet to tell you that that movement is at the verge of becoming more terrible than cherubim and seraphim. Well, the movement I'm talking about is that one. It's a new cut. It's a new cut. Now, almost all of my friends are here. We normally compare notes. Sometimes we travel to attend our meetings just to see if there is any new cut in my life. Yeah. Because you can be so strong and not know that you are veered off. And none of us has, you see, we need each other. And so you need to travel somewhere and then, okay, this thing, I'm going, you come back. You come back. You veer off. You repent. And you come back when you have found the reference according to the word of the Lord from God's servant Moses. While we're on campus, a revival broke out. We prayed for two academic sessions, and the grace of God began to come. You see, I found out that God will bless you with His presence, not because you are matured. He will bless you with His presence because you fulfill the protocol to secure the presence. You may not know what you did, but you did something. The excellency of knowledge is so that we can retain the things we receive. If you stumble into grace without knowing what you did, you will lose it. And you will not know how to get it back. But knowledge reveals the working system, the mechanism, so that you know actually what you need to continue doing to retain those dimensions of God. We thought the presence of God was a very trivial commodity. A commodity you could stumble on anyhow. And we were basking in the presence. Enjoying it. And it came to pass, the presence began to reduce. And we prayed and fasted, He reduced more. We prayed and fasted, He left more. Hallelujah. Then we now discover that this God we are talking about, this God has protocols. And in a group, if one person breaks the protocol, the entire group is cursed. Achan. You know, Achan did a secret thing at the corner. And the entire nation failed in warfare. The great Joshua had to come and lie face down. Hallelujah. Because there was a strange thing that took place. and it was not consistent with the nature of God, God could not partner with them as long as that strange thing was there. Shongo can still partner. Amadioha can still be there. But Jehovah cannot be identified with that. And even though the eyes of men could not see it, he himself, his nature, will not allow him to align with that kind of departure. So he left. And now discovered that there are some things that are superior to intercession. Some things are superior. We prayed somewhere, prayed for God to come. When we pray for about 6 hours, the presence will come. And then tomorrow, when we come, there is dry again. We'll beg God, pray. In some hours, he will come. He said, yes, I'm here. Tomorrow, when you come, the place is like this. There was a strange acre. Was busy transacting. There was an Achan on the pulpit. The Achan had done exploits. And God comes as much as he can come in view of the Achan. That's how much he will come. And when he has come to comfort us, because he that cometh to God, that you came, there's a reward. He has to fulfill that part. So he will come just to ensure that he brings ventilation in the spirit of men that have been praying. Then after that, we will use them. We have to start conducting research. And we found a matter. And we were too small to solve the matter. So we withdrew. Hallelujah. We did what? The people that stayed, they were cut off. I've seen Jehovah kill before. So this thing I'm telling you are things I've experienced. I've seen it. So the reason why we came is because we are touching something very delicate. And a lot of casualties about to find, especially among young ministers that are rising, like myself. There will be many deaths because people have generated new cards. And that's why God said we should make this summer. So that some things can be set in order. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You see, it happens to be that we are members of the body of Christ. And the last time I checked the book of Ephesians chapter 5, the body of Christ is a mystical body. And what mystical means is its mode of operation is beyond what you can fathom with your mind. It's a reality that transcends the understanding of your mind. And that's what the body of Christ is. However, as mystical as the body is, there are a few things that we have been able to know experientially. Hallelujah. Doctrinally, it is written that Christ is the head of the church. But that is not an experience in most people's lives. People have not built their life to capture the office of the head of the church. You see, it is possible for you to be in the body of Christ, but because you have not fully discerned the body, in discerning the body, one of the first things you discover is the office of the head of the church and how to relate with that office effectively. When you find a believer that is relating with the office of the Christ effectively, such a believer has begun to discern the body. Are you with me? Now, as mystical as the body of Christ is, there's a protocol of operation that is captured within that body. And it is also very possible for you to violate the protocol of the body of Christ, being a member of that body. And you are sincerely wrong. But being sincerely wrong cannot be an excuse when you touch naked electrical cable.
If you touch naked electric carpet, maybe they brought you from the heart of Bajimba. And you have never seen Kota. And you touch naked electrical cable, you will die. So there are some things that transcend. Your innocence is not an excuse. You just violated a principle. And that principle is making a breach. That's what we're talking about. So that you are sincere is not even, it doesn't even come up in this matter. Are you still with me? Alright. So in our relationship with God, as members of the body of Christ, we must be able to discern the office of the head. Headship. A believer that has discerned the office of the head wants to operate under the authority of the Christ. That you have discerned the office of the head, the implication of that position is that you want to operate under the authority of the Christ. That's the first line of discernment. Alright? So you allow him to call the shots. He determines what happens. He begins to expose himself to you as majesty, as a king spirit, as a personality that you cannot invoke. There's no mantra that you can enchant that will bring him closer. He will only come because he wants to come. He will only come because he decides to show mercy. Right? And those are the basic things you need to know in relating with this head of the church. When you begin to see a believer that is careful to acknowledge the majesty of Jesus and to relate with him as such, such a believer has gained insight into the body of Christ. The body of Christ is mystical. In order for you to participate in it, you have to have revelations of the body. Just like God is spirit, in order for you to relate with God, you need to have revelations of God. And if you do anything in the body of Christ that is not backed up with a reference revelation, you are operating, you are actually standing against the life torrent of that system. And there are grievous consequences that befall a brother when he constitutes a barricade to the life system that is in the body of Christ. I'm going to explain. All these are theoretical, theological. Now I need to give you some explanations. Hallelujah. In that prayer group that we were running, as small as it was, Jesus was concerned about it. Because anytime people are in alignment, they begin to enjoy the reality of God. They begin to enjoy the grace of God. So we were hungry. And there is a legislation that says, those that hunger and taste after righteousness, there is a provision for them to be filled. And we began to hunger after God, began to test after God, began to cry after God. And it came to pass that God took notice of our petitions and he began to draw near unto us. And when he started coming near unto us, he saw that we were sincere and began to bless us. Then we started liking the presence of God and began to come into the presence of God. And then suddenly, after a while, it was now clear that we were not the same. Before, when we started, we were the same. After a while, we were not the same. Diversity began to find expression. We now saw that there were some people that if they take the scriptures, they can still meet on one verse, raising prayer points for 7 hours, but not everybody had that grace. Right? We're what? Different. Amen. And there was a particular brother there. He had so much grace in scripture. When he takes a scripture, you will envy him. Because it's deep. And when he begins to talk, and he doesn't need to open the Bible. He has been studying so much. So when he comes there, he will just be quoting scriptures and generating prayer points. He was a major engine behind the prayers that were offered in that particular group. But he was not the leader. And it came to pass that the leader of the group now felt that he was neglected. People were going to this teacher man for counseling. And then they avoided the leader. You are not with me. When the teacher man under that, you see, the truth of the matter is that everybody that stays under his call, he shines. The man that does not shine is the man that does not stay in his call. The grace of God will not support what God has not commissioned you to do. So the teacher man knew that his lot and portion was in revelatory power. And he sat there. He prayed by revelation. He preached by revelation. He lived by revelation. But he was there. It was the same grace that was powering him. Are you with me? So in the prayer group, he became the arm of revelation in that particular local expression of Christ's body. And the leader now felt calm. And all the shine has been taken. All the glory has been taken. Because he heard. Now one of the counseling times, the teacher man, they gave him a seed. You know, seed cause problems. Seed. Seed is the author. Is the author of challenges. The leader now said, what? I've been laboring here since. No seed has come. And this guy that just came now is already gaining access to seed. So the leader now said, all right, this guy won't lead prayer again. So let's put him. And then he tried to become the teacher. And then he exposed himself. You see, when you don't try, he exposed himself. The people had honor for him. But when he attempted that, there was no grace to cover him. So his nakedness was revealed. We are all men. Eh? It is just the grace of God that covers us. All right. Now, if you wander out of the agreement that sustains grace on your life, you will become naked. And men will know you after the flesh. If they brought seed before, there will be no seed again. So this guy wandered out, tried to do something, and then he quoted some things that were maybe in the Quran in order for him to sound deep. And that was how the presence of God began to go. Began to leave because the body was not discerned. So it was not the Christ that was regulating, was his flesh. What he felt was good to restore his glory was now the line of action. So the office of the head of the church was not captured in our small prayer room. That thing that was done was a violation of protocol that made Jesus to begin to withdraw. Even though there were sincere people in the group that were not part of this particular problem, they all had to suffer from, are you with me? From that guy's action. They didn't even know what was happening. But they were suffering from that guy's action because the guy did not capture the head of the church in the work that was done. Hallelujah. Continued. And after a while, the prayer group ended because he did not have the blessings of God. The devil had been standing close to the group waiting for that covering to lift for him to enter. So the moment Jesus left, he sent two people. You know, he always has people. But that glory was so intense that those people could not operate there. Once Jesus began to go and the glory began to diminish, those two people entered and then the rest is history. People that could still hear God knew when to leave. Unfortunately, I was the teacher man that I was talking about. Unfortunately. So, I felt I was a problem, so I left. In that prayer, that place I left to, Jesus was waiting for me there. Yes, that's how my own experiences began. I now found out that there are environments that as powerful as Jesus is, it can't operate. That's when I began to learn things about order. You know what? God is spirit. The Bible says, just as you do not know how bones are formed in the womb of she that is with child, so knowest thou not the way of the Spirit. The way of the Spirit must be revealed. And the way God does it is that He gives you experiences that are in form of spiritual lessons to show you His ways. It's not lecture. It's encounter. Encounter. Now, I'm telling you that what I'm teaching, you cannot achieve it by Bible study. That's what I'm saying. As wonderful as Bible study is, its limitations are obvious. I've seen people that sat in Bible study since the 80s. They are not maturity today. They don't miss Bible study on Wednesday. Hallelujah. I met Jesus there. You know, meeting Jesus and reading about Jesus is different. And when I met Jesus, I found out that Jesus will not do everything. It's not everything he will do. You will not begin wondering, why are you going? Why are you going? You have already broken the protocol. If you didn't break it, you'll be there. And now started repenting. Started, every time Jesus comes, he goes. Because I will do something that will offend him. Then the scriptures began to open to me. And I began to discern the head. You know, he said, where two or three are gathered. No, it's not there. In my name. There is a way to gather. That scripture reveals the protocol for apostolic fellowship. There's a way to gather. Because when you were on campus, you were doing student union. Jesus didn't come because you gathered. Did he come? Maybe as you gathered, then somebody began to shake and started prophesying. It's not all gathering that are in his name. It's the only the gatherings that are in his name that can attract his presence. You must follow the protocol. If not, you will get a wrong result. Another spirit will come and take possession of what you have built. So if we move outside of divine order, we collide with demonic spirits. We collide with false spirits. We collide with false things. And there are many, many churches that God left 12 years ago, but they are still singing praise and worship. The divine order has been fractured. Jesus left through the window, but on the pulpit, there is something that empowers it. And that thing is not Jesus. When you check a particular pulpit, the kind of things that come from there, you will know what spirit is talking. Okay, let's not go there. Let's not start what we need to do on Wednesday now. Because we need to do pulpit inspection. It's part of, we need new eyes and new lenses to look at the pulpit. And you'll find out sometimes what we see here is mammon that is talking. The mammon is trying to bring you into the systems that it controls. It's trying to possess your soul. So that it becomes the chief regulator of your enterprise. And so we need a lot of discernment in order to work with God. You see, when Jesus began to come and I started befriending him, scripture started coming alive. If God wants to help me relate properly, the Holy Spirit will pop up a scripture. Okay. Those were encounters. And those encounters are the most treasured things I have today. Hallelujah. If I set up, because I was taught how to invoke the presence, I will soon do that one as practical. I was taught by Jesus that if you want my presence to come, do like this. Do like this. Do like this. Meanwhile, he will never tell you do like this if you have not yet captured the office of the head and you are living under the authority of his name. He will not show you the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven until you are in order. Because the Bible says that the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. There are many people that don't fear God that are speaking for God. Speaking in the name of God. And then when you see his operation, everything he does ends in him taking from people. What the spirit operating in him is called the thief. Oh, you are not aware. Oh, okay, let's go. The thief. It cometh not but. So at the end of the day, he can use a gift. He can use a revelation. He can use an insight. But at the end of the day, he must take. When you find that pattern, you will know that this is another spirit at work entirely. And in order for the spirit to be so fully matured, it means the new cat have been existing for a long time. So he has backbone. He has bow leg. He's fully developed. Because it's a new cat. An old new cat. At every point in time, a preacher will need to stand back and stop preaching and go somewhere where he can find the pure word of God and test his soul. whether there is lawlessness locking in and masquerading as sanctimony and piousness. I have a few scriptures for us. In the body of Christ, I found out that there's a certain order that can trap the presence of God. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, under my authority, he said, there I am in the midst of them. So people that operate under the authority of Jesus, they allow Jesus to lead them. They are eager to hear from Jesus so that they can be accurate. What in my name means is, it can be under my authority. But better still, it is someone that is representing another person. It's just like minister of Agric goes to represent a president and he reads a speech. That speech is not his speech. That speech is the president's speech. If you use a Zenith Bank ATM card, are you with me? If you slot it into a Zenith Bank ATM machine, your name will appear. Now, if it's my ATM card I give to my wife and my wife takes, the ATM machine cannot identify that it's my wife standing there. She's using my ATM card and the name that will come up is my name. Because it's my card. However, it is with my wife. So she's going to the ATM machine in my name. So everything I can do if I am there, my wife will be able to do if she's there because she's going in my name. Are you with me? Hallelujah. It's a risk to go in his name. Because if you mess up, it's his name they remember. It's a risk for him to give you his name. You go there and fall on a woman, they will say, see Jesus, this person that Jesus sent. He will appear on Facebook and on Twitter. Pastor did this and the name of Jesus is the target. Meanwhile, it's operating under the authority of that name effectively that guarantees the presence of God. So for every blessing in God, there is a protocol to access it. And that is what we are called to understand the order. And that's why David had to pull back those priests from retirement. Those ones have served God for a long time, so they know the God of Jacob. It was them that conducted the research and discovered that the reason why Uzzah died was because of... Can we go now? I have 5 things to show you. But let me start with the first one. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's not everybody that can be blessed. No. Some people are dislocated. And where they are, God can bless them. Except they come into alignment with divine order. When you pray and your prayers are not answered, go and take your Bible and find out everything about prayer. You will find what you are doing wrong. All the scriptures on prayer, start reading the first one, second one. Just be reading, because in their repentance, they began to operate according to the prescription of Moses. It means they went to study, they went to research. Most believers don't go back to the Bible to check why is money not coming. God sent me on this errand. I am here in God's name. And now the poverty is strange. You go back to the book. And you consult to find what is wrong in my approach that makes it not to be operation under due order. You can study and now find out that, okay, nothing is wrong. I'm just in the process. You'll be encouraged. And sometimes you might find some things that are wrong. And then you now make adjustment. That is how we work with God. We work with this lamp for our feet and light for our path. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for instance, verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 27. And the context here is the context of the communion table. Just to bring a few things out. Okay, maybe you read about 26. Can you go back to 26, technical man? 26. Verse 26. Let me land on that. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. 27.
Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and the blood of the Lord. Go on, next verse. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So there's a recommendation for examination. And there's a possibility of drinking of the cup and eating of the bread unworthily. Alright, let's find, maybe we'll find out what exactly is unworthily. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the body. Not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. So partaking of the Lord's table unworthily is linked to an inability to discern the Lord's body. I don't have time for this to explain this scripture as much as I would love to. It's tied to an inability to what? Not to discern the Lord's body. Now, you see, are you with me? He said, because of this lack of discernment, many are weak, many are sickly, and many sleep. Now, you remember that scripture that says, is there any sick among you? James chapter 5. Is there any sick among you? Let him pray, and let him call for the elders of the church, and they shall anoint him with oil. And the prayer of faith, he didn't say shall heal him, he said it shall save him. Because that brother is a victim of this spiritual sickness, which comes as a result of partaking of the elements unworthily. It's not sickness that comes because of pathogens. It is sickness that comes because of damnation. It is on that basis that we invite the elders. The elders are people that have the most intimate relationship with the head of the church. When they come and plead with him, he will be appeased. That's how strong the body of Christ is. And that is why every minister that is in this body has to discern the body. And discern the mystical terrain that we are operating from. Because that which was meant to become a conduit pipe through which blessings can flow can still become a platform for damnation. Can become a platform for damnation. He said, because of this, a lot of people are weak, a lot of people are sick, and a lot of people die, they sleep. So the things that make for our salvation can make for death if we do not discern the body and understand the principles that govern that level of civilization. Are you still with me? I say I have 5 things to show us. And all of those 5 things are actually, you know that story I told, and I tell this story with a broken heart. Are you with me? That campus prayer team. I did not know that thing, as small as it was dear to the heart of God. And when a situation came such that God could no longer come into the midst of his people because there was a break in the spiritual protocol, and he was no longer acknowledged as the head of our gathering. We were no longer gathering in his name. We were gathering under the will of the flesh. The principle changed, so he could no longer possess our gathering. He could no longer claim our gathering. He was no longer welcome to our gathering because his place was cast off. Right? The group scattered. And I thought that was all that happened. That was not all. 8 years later. Hallelujah. Are you with me? 8 years later, what happened? Our leader became blind. This man I'm talking about, his prayer grace has ever been far more than mine. He is an intercessor par excellence. He has so much grace. And he had labored in prayer for many years.
A man that has labored in prayer for many years should not end like that. Because even the devil doesn't have the power to make him like that. He became like that not because he collided with a demon. He became like that because he was exposed to damnation, given that he did not discern. Are you still with me? I hope I'm not making you afraid. There are some levels of discerning the body where we can identify that God has raised this prophet for our generation. Because I've discerned it so. When he talks, I take his word seriously. It's part of discernment too. Because it is possible for him to say, "Hi, I saw one problem, I saw." And then you trivialize it. You don't go and pray about it. And then when the problem comes, you are swallowed without mercy. Because you were given the message of the Lord to receive direction. But you did not discern. You did not discern the body. Meanwhile, that grace is in the body. Meanwhile, also it is possible for somebody to masquerade in the name of Christ. So that you can give him that kind of honor. Like T.B. Joshua. And then when you do so, you expose yourself because you did not discern. Your joining yourself with him was not by discernment. If not, you would have known what sort he is. You know, the Bible says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. You know, there was a time like that. Maybe like the third time we met. That was when I knew, I had the impression, a witness of the Holy Spirit about him. Then we were not even close. And then you don't laugh much. But I knew it in the spirit. And I realized all the people that I made my friends, that there was no witness, all of them dealt with me serious. I said, I like this message. It's not by liking. It's not whether he's an Igbo man or he comes from your village. If there's no witness, it may mean that you are not in the same bunch. If you make him to be in the bunch, he will show you a new skill, a new cut. Now, so when we are talking about service to God, issues of discernment come to bear in such an oppression. And if you cannot see accurately, you are likely to be injured. Now, let me show you something, five things quickly, just to set the stage. This is an introduction of the kind of things, because there are many platforms that need order. Is it in the operation of the gifts? Is it in doctrine? Is it in father-sonship relationship? Is it in church life? Is it in territorial impact? We need order in all of these areas and much more. Because we are in a generation where discipleship has been thrown out of the door. And so many things have come into play that are not from God. Now, in the days of Elijah, there was national backsliding, a departure from God's expectation. Ahab was king. Jezebel was first lady. It was a strange terrain. The principles of God have been compromised. In fact, a new set of priesthood have been set up in the land. Are you with me? That it was an insult to God. In the place of divine priesthood, a corrupted band of men that prophesy in the name of the devil were set up as national prophets. The hope of light was not in that system. God had withdrawn. And God sent Elijah the Tishbite into that corrupted system to set it back in order so that the presence of God can be restored. That kind of assignment is a strange assignment. The entire system has departed from prescription. And the way the system is running now is a total abuse to God. The functionaries of the kingdom of darkness have made it to high places. I'm wondering how Jezebel was able to make it that far. Sometimes you hear things like Kabbalah. That's the same spirit of Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel cannot operate effectively except it is around power. It needs to be around power so that it can tilt power to serve another end. What is the definition of witchcraft? Witchcraft is illegitimate authority.
That's what it is. An authority that is not legitimate. That's what witchcraft is. Are you with me now? Good. Now, so in order for darkness to have a foothold on the government of the day, a messenger of darkness had to be close to power. And that messenger of darkness knows what to do to power, to make power, to serve the will of the devil. And that's when you find out how strong political power actually is. By the stroke of a pen. Zaria was a village. By the stroke of the pen, one of the grandest universities in this country was zoned to Zaria. Today, when you hear of Samaru, it is because of ABU Zaria. What would Samaru have looked like without ABU? It was power that was at work. And the devil knows how powerful power is, even in the earthly context. So in order for the devil's purposes to find expression, he needs to send a functionary to the seat of power. So how Jezebel appeared there, I don't know. But she was there at the time. And then God now had to bring a strange minister. It is the Elijah spirit that has to be introduced to the current systems that we have in order to bring it back to order. The Elijah spirit is what we'll be speaking this week. The Elijah spirit comes to restore order when there is a gross departure from the protocols of God. The Elijah spirit. So if that spirit was imported into the system. And you know the prophets of Baal were many. But where the Elijah spirit is, you can never outnumber Elijah. You can't outnumber him. Now, I'd like us to see the few things that Elijah did in order to restore fire to an ancient altar of witness that was within the territory that lacked fire. That altar was the bouncing burner of the Holy Ghost in the days aforetime, but it became a relic, a reference point, a dump. He did something to it. In order to make it relevant again, to play its original role, the Elijah spirit had to come into the territory. There were a few things he did. Can we go to 1 Kings quickly? 1 Kings. 1 Kings. Hallelujah. From our watch here, my time is up. I have 23 minutes and that's not sufficient for me to discuss the Elijah spirit. But the Lord will help us. 1 Kings 18, quickly. Just to introduce you to what we will be doing. What is happening in the church now, and I need to tell us the current happenings in the church now is the introduction of the Elijah spirit. The Elijah spirit. You will find some people. You know, he's called Elijah the Tishbite. You will think that's the name of his village. That is not. There's no such village like that. Because Tishbite means messenger. The man was known by the message he preached. After preaching, he will vanish, but his message will remain. So he was known by a message. And he was a mere messenger. And so God will have to be sending messages and sending messengers to challenge situations that are not consistent with the protocol of heaven. The Elijah spirit is what God is releasing to salvage the church from the infection of the kingdom of darkness that has bedeviled her. The Elijah spirit, the spirit of resurrection, that comes to present a plumb line and to restore the church back to the original context, the Elijah spirit. Now, see, someone that is operating with this Elijah spirit, he will be out of the box. He will not be content. You know, there was a way the prophets of Baal used to operate. And the people were used to it. Hallelujah. There were, you know, you will now find men whose style of ministry was designed by God as messengers to bring the church back to alignment. The Elijah spirit. You notice that in the book of Malachi, the Bible said, behold, I will send what?
Elijah.
That spirit will have to come back. Because God was going to be totally lost. The devil will be doing old things in new ways. People will be committing old sins in new ways. The heritage of God will be totally lost in the territory. And what God will do in such circumstances is that he will send Elijah. That spirit will have to come back. It was the same spirit that was upon John the Baptist. Everything about God had died. There were still religious systems in the territory, but God could no longer heal true men. So he had to, in order for him to retain his name as healer, he went and blessed a swimming pool. And said, that's where we heal from now. Because there was no vessel, no human vessel alive that will allow him to bear that name. They wanted that name to die. So God was struggling for people to still know him in that generation as healer. So he blessed swimming pool. The one that was by the sheep market. And once in a while he deploys an angel. An angel. When there is space in the protocol of heaven and the workload reduces, he sends that angel to go and stir the water so that the memory of him as the healer will not die among the people. That was the season in which one prophet started prophesying in the wilderness. You see, this man that was carrying the Elijah spirit, his location was not a very proper place. But that was not a disadvantage to him. There was a spirit that was speaking to him. There was a spirit that was prophesying to him. Do you know that he brought correction to the priesthood of that day, inclusive of his father? His father was still in that order. He corrected the priesthood that his father was part of. It was Elijah's spirit. You will say, no, this guy is naughty. He doesn't. What was speaking through him was to bring order. You might look at him and say, this is a proud man. This, you, no, see, check his spirit. Check this. Don't look at the vessel. It's a spirit. The spirit is crying out for a restoration. It's crying out to bring back God. It's crying out to bring back salvation. The spirit of Elijah. That's what God introduces. When all trace of God departs in the territory, he sends Elijah. In this conference, the mantle of Elijah, it will come back again. You will preach, you will pray, you will prophesy like Elijah. Oh my. And all the grounds that have been conceded to the enemy, they shall be restored and retrieved back again in the name of Jesus Christ. I will send Elijah. Somebody brought palm oil and charcoal as tools for the prophetic ministry. Those kind of things happen because Elijah is absent. There were several ministries that grew because Idahosa had died. The spirit of Elijah was born in him. That witness was so intense. He would have appeared in synagogue as the first member on Sunday morning. Oh my. Many of you will call him troublemaker. Why can't he preach? No. He's called the Tishbite. God empowers him with a message from Zion. He is not functioning according to his own will. Something is responsible. The spirit of God from heaven is bringing witness like a burning, like a shining light. It's the spirit of Elijah. The church is about to experience a commotion because Elijah returns. Elijah returns. Elijah returns. The spirit of God returns. Elijah returns. And the Bible says, when the Elijah spirit came upon John the Baptist, the Bible says, from the time of John the Baptist, the order, the approach changed. The kingdom of heaven, it allowed violence. Elijah spirit. Your temperament might be sanguine. But when Elijah spirit, when it comes, it's a spirit of order, bringing everything back to what it was in the original intent of God as captured in the scripture. Elijah's spirit. Hallelujah. The altar. It was an altar of fire. Suddenly, it's no longer a reference point in the civilization of that day.
We had gone past that era when those altars were required. A new kind of priesthood was set up. And the memory of God was dying. The God of the land was no longer remembered. And there was a priesthood in the system. There was a Jezebel that was manipulating the authority of that time to give perspective and to adorn the kingdom of darkness and to design the kingdom in the image of the devil. Then suddenly, before the silence was about to break, before darkness was about to swallow the lamb, finally, we now found a man. The name of his father was not mentioned. The name of his mother was not mentioned. His village was not included. The Tishbite. The silence will break. Because the spirit of Elijah comes. That's a prophecy I came to give us tonight. That the spirit of Elijah will come. Anything you need to do for this organ to talk. Because if this organ doesn't talk, your service in that room has ended this night. If this organ doesn't talk, the Elijah spirit. Elijah spirit. Abayaka mama. Aya mama mama mama. Many people say he was a troublemaker. You don't know. Don't judge if you are not in the spirit. There was something burning in his bones. That was the last time we saw the flames of Elijah burn in Nigeria. The spirit of witness that could speak to the enemy. With boldness. DSS was there that time when the Elijah spirit was burning. Everything he did by the authority that he got from God. It was not carnal, it was not flesh. That was why nothing could fight him. The same city of Ibadan, where they say no open air could say those days. He called Bunke. He said, I found a place where we can hold a crusade and host 1 million men. It was the Dahosa that brought Rehan Bunke to the million level in crusading. That he was dwelling there. That was his abode, his habitat. It was natural for him to hold crusades in millions. And those days on earth, there were only like 3 people that could pull that feat. Even men like Benny Hinn were still in the school of evangelism. It was still Buhari that was the president that time as a military administrator. And he gave that decree. No open air crusade. Elijah's spirit did crusade. That was the first time Bunke preached to 1 million. And no government could chase him. And the government was military. I came to announce to you that the church will not be silent forever. A voice of a king rises from the midst of her. The spirit of Elijah shall cry again. Elijah's spirit. Something that the devil could not tame. The Bible says this man came in the... everything he did was according to order. He waited for them to be doing their incantation and divination. And when the time of evening prayer was arriving, he took the stage. He didn't do that and he did any time. The people did not know that the hour of prayer anymore. So they were just living anyhow, out of order. Elijah came. He still remembered the prayer. The time of the evening sacrifice. He took the stage. You would think that, okay, it was because the other people were tired. They could still do something. But he knew the time. That this is intervention will not work any time. There was a time. He knew it was the time of the evening oblation. Where the angels in the corridor of priesthood will be waiting to receive incense from the earth. So that they can mingle it with spices from heaven. The angels were arrayed in the courts from leading to the altar in heaven. And Elijah knew that the congregation was aligning. And he came and took the microphone. He said, you people have tried. This your prayer meeting should end now. Elijah's spirit. Elijah's spirit. He took over. He took over at the time of the evening oblation. That's when the ram's horn is sounded. In order to call men to prayer. Because the angels in the corridor have aligned. The priest
after the order of Melchizedek, has come out of his chamber. Those are moments when heaven and earth becomes one because of priesthood. Elijah came and took the microphone. He said, it's time. Oh my God. He saw the altar. It was old. The wood in it had rusted. Some of it was rotting. That altar was no longer one of the facilities that thrives the land. It was a monument and a relic. Then we now saw the wisdom of the prophetic. How he coupled the altar together. Hallelujah. He went and picked stones according to the witness of the tribes. See, there were two altars he raised that day, not one. Based on my reading, he revived the old prayer altar. Then he used those stones to form another altar. And what he was saying is, if you not hear me, hear his head. If my prayer cannot move you, let the prayer of the church move you. His operation that day was mystical. He was not reading from a textbook. It was coming from heaven. The spirit of a light. The spirit of a light. Oh my. Oh my. Somebody said the spirit of Elijah. The Bible said that he put the wood in order. The wood was displaced. And he wanted to give life to an altar that had died. He put the wood in order. He was able to replicate that altar in the similitude of what it was before he came down. That was an altar of the patriarchs, an ancient foundation. He was not there when it was first erected, but by the prophetic, he was able to go and gain the things, the alignment patterns of the past, and he used it to erect the altar in the present. The moon and the sun is old, but it's still relevant. Today, when it burns you, you will sweat. It has not become outdated. There are some things that don't fade because the hand of God is upon it. There's no need for a new cart because God cannot fade. Oh, he put the altar together. Time, he was running out of time. Hey, because the angels were aligning in heaven. And you know what? He now began to pray. He said, let it be known that I did all these things according to your word. That was where we knew that there was a quiet voice that was giving him direction. The spirit of Elijah is with men that have the ear of God, that can still tap into the economy of heaven and receive directive from the throne of grace and bring to pass the perspective of Zion. The spirit of Elijah. The spirit of Elijah. I did everything according to your word. I didn't add my flesh. I didn't add my wisdom. I didn't add my own intelligence. I did it exactly according to your word. You see, when that statement was uttered, an ancient altar that was long dead, and everybody was doubting whether he still had the privilege to hold fire because the Tishbite came. I have seen churches that were long dead, and suddenly the spirit of Elijah comes upon it, and according to the word of God, fire comes down. The Bible says heaven was rent and fire came down. There was no need to preach an evangelical message. The fire was message enough. And every man of Israel cried out, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he... The hearts of men will find God again when the spirit of Elijah comes back to the house of God. Oh my, the spirit of Elijah. I don't know what happened to your spirit. I don't know the last time you heard the voice of God clearly. I don't know if that altar that was revealed in the book of 1 Kings, It's a description of the altar of your heart. No fire. And you have been going through the motion, trying to operate, trying to act something like something. And you know that the Spirit of God has left you. It is time for us to come into alignment. Because it's not by power. It's not by might. It's by the Spirit of God. Anywhere you are, inside or outside, it's time to stand. And we want to call down fire. It's the time of the evening oblation. It's the time of the evening sacrifice. The angels are aligned in their corridors. Priesthood is about to take place. The priest in the heavens, he has come into his chamber. Something is happening. It is time. Milabroske sante la bonda malina. Hola. Do you have you experienced a better yesterday in your life? It means the altar has died. La cobre mani. Sanema tobale mama. Ebrama soge mandate maya. So mandele boseke mamana. Ebrama sanda babona. O garabena sika mama. O mena sanda babale. O mana. O mana. Semina combrena santa babale mama. It's time for the evening sacrifice. It's time for the evening oblation. We the family on earth, we fuse with the family in heaven. With one voice, we release incense of worship, incense of prayer. Sela momo seka babana. Abra baso sena la bomene. Ikame la babo. Abre nebe santa baba le bone. Ambela do bala pasena. Ebra sela bonda malede. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now listen. If there is a story in your life of a better yesterday, it means the altar has become obsolete. You are running a civilization that avoids the power of the altar. You are already operating by a new cat. What the spirit of Elijah does is to call men back to that civilization that has its reference point on the altar. A lot of people have this deception that a church without prayer is accurate. There's a lot of war. They are talking Bible. And people have no altars. The altar is dead. It is the Spirit of God that makes life the Word of God. Without the Spirit of God, what you have is the Logos. And that's not a complete
Word of God. The complete Word of God comes when it is animated by the Spirit of God. It has its original, creative, and living form. It's time for the evening oblation. It's time for the evening sacrifice. Incense must ascend. Incense must come from earth, and then the angels will mingle it with spices in heaven. Sometimes they will toss it back into the earth, and it will open pathways in areas that have been sealed, areas under lock and key. They respond. Now I would like us to release real incense to heaven. Forget about everything around you, and let us go straight to heaven with worship. Forget about your wife, forget about your husband, and let that incense rise. That's what we do in the time of the evening oblation. Every man becomes an altar. The burnings of the heart of men ascend. They ascend like incense. They ascend into the heavens. They ascend. Forget about your wife. Forget about your husband. Become an altar. Become a place of fire. A place of burning. A place of flames. Bose seta. Bose semene kedia. Bose yite. Bosa mandali. Bosa sakutaba. Become an altar full of flames. Tilano malanea. Ambre sosana alaba. Oh! Oh! Let there be burnings, burnings. Forget about your neighbor. Don't look at the preacher. Don't look at the preacher. Don't allow the preacher to distract you. Selabole Baba. Mola bina saila mama de sabia. Mama la bala. It's the time of the evening oblation. At this point in time, the heavens can only understand incense. Sumale brade 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 brade. Samena bobona. Aita balabonde na samene. Bruske susene kebele kumba. Labroske braso patamina. Braise la bonde la kabela. Una selama. Let the incense rise from the depths of your being. Ela bobode. I am on a samena. Samena. Simama babogo. Look to the Lord alone. Look to Him alone. We give you the glory. Come and run my life, Spirit of the living God. Come and run my life. Come and run my life, Spirit of the living God. Come and run my life, Yahweh. Come and run my life, Spirit of the living God.
Come and run my life. Oh. Come and run my life. Yeah, I will. Come and run, come and run, come and run. Run my life. Oh. Come and run my life. Come and run, run and run my life. Spirit of the living God, come and run my life. Come and run. Come and run my life. Come and run. Say la mo mo mo. La 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 la. Come and run my life. Stay with us, Ali. Come and run, run my life. Yeah, hey, I will. Come and run my life. Run my life, run my life, run my life, run my life. Yeah, I will. Come and run, 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 run. Come and run, hey, 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 hey.
One more time, run my life. I acknowledge your authority. Invite him to run your life. Sugala Toma. Aitama Morekete. Simon Manate. Run my life, oh God. Run my life, oh God. Run my life, oh God. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Listen,
in order for to prepare you for the journey that is ahead of us. The Lord showed me something. I saw the angels of the Lord touching people's ears. I don't fully understand the full scope of that vision, but I know as much as this, that God will restore some people's spiritual connection. And that is a basic requirement for full participation in the feast that the Lord has called for you. So I want to pray for you now. Father, in the name of Jesus. He showed me how that you dispatch your angels to touch people's ears in order for them to find connection in the spirit so that they can be stirred. And it is when each and every one of us is stirred that the communications that are coming from your throne will be easy to understand. I want to ask that you will do a surgery on the hearing aid, the spiritual hearing aid of every participant in this conference. Jesus. There are a few of us that God will restore your connection with Him. The fire will come down. Alright? The fire will come down. When the altar is set up effectively, it links to heaven, to the altar that is in heaven. And the fire that comes down comes from that altar in heaven. Some fire will descend upon the altars of people's hearts so that those altars can be ignited for full participation in spiritual transaction. So that's the reason for which I want to pray now. You can stop praying. You can just put your hand on your chest. It's a necessary ritual for us. I'm humble. You see, the Lord is establishing that connection already. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for every participant in this conference. You reveal to me that some people need to make a connection. And that's a connection that they cannot make in their own strength. Connections that can only be made by your spirit in order to prepare them to inherit things that are coming out of heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you go outside. I ask that you come inside. And from my left hand side to my right hand side, those that need that connection, let the fire of the Spirit of God descend from heaven and begin to make that connection. Some of them, oh my, oh my, oh my, oh my. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you stretch your hand outside this hall. Stretch your hand outside this hall. Let that connection be made. Let that, oh Jesus. Ushers, you will have to help me. I just have a few minutes, about 5 minutes to leave here. Makumba sika maka kabete kapota. Akumba balete kambeta kumba kapato makapata. Akumba mende, akumba baleta kumba kapata. Akumba basanda, akabate kumbalete kapatuna. I am seen in the spirit. I am seen in the spirit. There is something that God wants to do. I see a woman. I see a female. And this female operated in the prophetic for some time. But what I see right now is a total disconnection. And the lady is wondering what is happening. I see that you have been able to put your heart in order. And God has decided to show you mercy. And as I speak to you, in the count, under the count of seven, the fire of God will descend upon your life. Under the count of seven. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Holy Ghost.